Hi, this is Candace Michelle, and this is Our Community. Joining me today is Lauren Farmer, RN extraordinaire, who has been working on the front lines of COVID vaccinations at St. Timothy's Clinic for what seems like forever. Welcome back to the show, Lauren. Doesn't it seem like forever?
It does seem like a long time. I do agree. Yes.
When, you know, I was trying to think about when that clinic started, and at first I was thinking, well, wasn't it just like last year? But was it just last year?
You know, we have been running since April 2021.
Okay. So it has definitely been longer than a year.
Longer than a year.
It just feels like forever. It just feels like forever. And we've gone through several variants during that time and, you know, a whole lot of misinformation and, you know, people thinking, ah, COVID, it's just a bad cold, you know. I don't know, right? Just keep
right.
Kind of scratching my head like, all right, okay. So Diana Cooper is usually joining us as well, and she is the executive director of Brookings CORE Response. We had an open house last night for CORE, which went very well, by the way. And I think Diana is just exhausted.
I agree.
Yeah. It's like, yeah, you put so much energy and time and work into something like an open house. And, you know, there's kind of like this letdown. Okay, are we done?
Absolutely. They've had a lot on their plate in the last 14 days.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. So, Lauren, it's been a while since we got together and talked about COVID. And things have changed again, as they seem to do all the time.
Absolutely.
So one of the things that changed is the location of the clinic.
Right.
Used to be at St. Tim's. And now where are you?
We're at the Rush Building in downtown Brookings, across from the theater.
And how often are you there?
Well, we are testing Monday, Wednesday, Friday, Saturday, 12 to 3. We're doing vaccinations on Saturday, 12 to 3.
Okay. So in terms of the testing, are you still seeing a lot of people coming in testing?
Well, no. The number of people that are coming in and testing has greatly declined. Mm-hmm. And that's probably because of self-ordering and people being able to self-administer the test.
Right. And it seems like people are not getting as sick as they were getting when they get COVID. Is that accurate, or am I just, you know, hearing about the light cases?
Well, you know, Omicron is definitely different than Delta and what I call COVID 1.0.
Right.
It seems not to be getting into the lungs quite as you know, like the other.
Mm-hmm.
So this variant does seem lighter, but that's kind of a misconception because it really does depend on who you are and where exactly the virus decides to hit.
Interesting, isn't it?
Yeah, it's very interesting.
Yeah, I was looking on the internet and it said that the variant BA.2 Omicron subvariant has been dubbed the stealth Omicron, which I think is funny, but so true, right? Because you don't know, even more so with this variant, you don't know that you have it a lot of times.
You know, that's true. There's definitely people that are asymptomatic. You know, with all the variants, there are people that are asymptomatic. You know, they call this the stealth Omicron. You know, it does seem to be incredibly mobile. So it's getting around things. For example, and I'll put this out there, I follow protocols like you wouldn't believe. I'm an OR nurse. Protocols are everything about keeping myself safe and keeping my patients safe. Somehow Omicron got around my protocols and got me. And it can happen. even in the best of situations, no matter how strong you are in all your protocols, it can get around it.
It's kind of scary a little bit, right? Because I feel like my husband and I have been locked down basically since, I'm thinking April of 2020. And I intend to, stay cautious. But the thought that all of what we've been through for the last 2+ years not being enough to save me from getting it is kind of that would be a real disappointment to me, I don't want this thing. I don't want it.
I absolutely agree, Candace. I absolutely agree. But, go ahead.
Well, my daughter ended up with it, and she had gone to dinner with, 4 friends who were all in the health profession, just like her, and they'd all been vaccinated, and they'd all been boosted, and yet somebody had it and passed it on. And it's like, wow. I mean, it's kind of hard to eat with a mask on. So if you're going to go to dinner with people, you're probably going to be sitting across the table not masked. I mean, that's just kind of the way it is.
Absolutely, Candace. What you have to do is you have to be able to look at your risk and calculate your risk. Are you willing to take that risk? What is my health condition at this time if I do get sick? And just like any other risk, the same reason we keep insurance on our cars, we have to calculate that risk into everything we do.
How sick did you get when you got it?
Surprisingly, because I'm very attuned to my body, I did feel it. I felt my immune response quite quickly. I do test all the time as mandated by the state. Mm-hmm. For me. How sick did I get? 2 days.
Oh, that's not bad.
2 days. And pretty bad, severe headaches and mm-hmm. the temperatures. My fevers were, I'm at Tylenol every 4 hours.
Yeah.
For those 2 days. Then I fought it off incredibly well.
Great, great. Yeah, my daughter was saying the same thing, that she had headaches and fever. And, I actually Zoomed with her while she was sick. She had gone to Idaho. She'd driven to Boise, Idaho to see her dad, who was dying. Right. So she couldn't go see him because she was, sick. And here she is, kind of stuck at a B&B with COVID. Right? It's like,
right.
Oh my God. But she didn't sound all that bad. It really didn't go into her chest the way I was afraid that it was going to.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so, and, people I know, like, left and right, it turns out that my brother had it, and my sister got it. It's like, really? I mean, everybody, it feels like everybody's getting it.
Well, it definitely feels like everybody's getting it, and the reality of that is probably because everybody is getting it.
Yeah.
And, what we want to prevent is the constant reinfections.
Right.
And, that's what we, need to quit. And that's where our vaccines come into play, is that reinfection and building, those antibodies to fight this off.
Because the one thing that, we have not talked about is long COVID. And that is a real serious possibility for
absolutely
people. And it only takes getting COVID once to, go into long COVID. If you get it more than once, evidently the risk goes up.
Definitely so. I have a personal friend that yeah, third time.
Yeah, and wow.
Yeah.
That's so bad.
And you know, like I said, a very close personal friend, unvaccinated. Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, my job is only to educate. My job isn't to force you what to do with your body. Your body is your body for you to make your own decision. And I'm just an educator.
But I've seen somebody with long COVID. I mean, Diana and I talk about it every time we come on. And it is not something you want to play with.
No, it is very real. It is absolutely very real. And it's making people sick and it's keeping people sick.
Yeah.
And it's not clearing.
No.
And it
takes you down. I've seen Diana when she's, you know, suffering from it, and it takes her down.
And she is not the only one.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. She is not the only one. Yeah. Not the only one I know. Yeah. I know probably at least 5 people in our area that have long COVID right now.
Oh, my word. Ay, ay, ay.
Yeah.
You know, the interesting thing to me is that this whole phenomenon of having a variant that was less lethal but much more contagious was being talked about as a possible off-ramp for COVID back in the day when the original COVID was around and, you know, everybody was dying. This was kind of what they were looking forward to as a possible off-ramp. And it seems like that's a possibility. What do you think?
Well, you know, it's a possibility, but, you know, we don't know. The data is way behind the reality, and we just don't know. If this Omicron variant, is making people sick, but they're not acquiring any immunity that is lasting, then this is not the off ramp. If the immunity is only lasting, natural acquired immunity only lasting 5-6 months, which is kind of what the data is showing, hence people can get reinfected 3 times in an 18-month period. And so, is it an off ramp? The data will tell us more later on. But no, I don't think this is our off ramp that we were hoping for.
So it seems like those of us who are okay with getting the vaccine, it seems like if we keep doing that, kind of keep getting that booster every 6 months or so, it seems like the protection is there. What do you think about that?
Well, you know, I talked a lot. I talk a lot about that with patients, and really, what we're doing is we are topping off the tank.
Mm-hmm.
You know, regarding our antibodies, really, we are boosting them. A continual topping off of that tank to keep our antibodies at the highest level that we can possibly keep them.
Mm-hmm.
Also, the difference between now and a year ago, 2 years ago, is our treatment. And we have modalities. And that's one thing that I preached about early on in the beginning of the pandemic was, people, please stay home, be patient. Wait for the science to catch up with the modalities so we can start treating this in hospitals. And meaning the monoclonals and Paxlovid right now.
Right, right. I think the second one was what my daughter got.
That's, Paxlovid, yes.
Yeah, yeah. And what is that? That's...
Well, you know...
antibodies?
No. Paxlovid is an antiviral medication.
Okay.
And it's an incredibly effective antiviral medication for the treatment of COVID. I don't know if any of our listeners has taken Tamiflu before when they've gotten the flu. There's an antiviral out there called Tamiflu that you can take if you take it within a certain time frame.
Right.
And, you know, Tamiflu is about a 50-50.
Mm-hmm.
It was kind of a hit or miss drug.
Right.
Antivirals, you know, to see something above 70%, you're really hitting high. This antiviral is above that. It's working well.
Wow, that's excellent.
Excellent. Mm-hmm.
So that means if you are sick, now, is it one of those things where you have to get that antiviral within a certain amount of time for it to be effective to fight it off?
Well, you know, there's prescribing guidelines regarding Paxlovid, you know, because of supply. And so it's available, mm-hmm. But you have to check all the marks off. Mm-hmm. To make, you know, so the doctor can prescribe it for you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, one of the things is that 3 to 5 day window that you have to get it, and it depends upon your symptomology.
Right.
A 35-year-old, a doctor may be less reluctant to write it for somebody that may be 75 just because of supply.
Ah, okay. Okay. So we really do have a supply shortage?
Well, no, it's not a supply shortage. It's a manufacturing thing. You know, it has to go through all the trials. It has to go through all the approval before Pfizer, who happens to make this particular antiviral.
Mm-hmm.
You know, before they can ramp up their production ability of the drug.
Okay. Fascinating. It's just fascinating to me that they're like cogs in a wheel, and everything has to line up just right. Or, you know, you can say, oh yeah, there's a cure or there's a treatment or there's, but if it's not readily available, then, you know, it's not useful.
Oh, well, I don't want to say that it's not readily available. Mm-hmm. I don't want to go that far.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if people's symptomology and they're having a very hard time with it, you know, they need to talk to their doctor about that and you know, see where they fit into that.
Okay.
You know, we also have the monoclonal antibodies, and
now when do you take those, or when's the appropriate time for those?
Well, the appropriate time for monoclonal antibodies is actually any time during the disease process. They're going to be most effective early on, mm-hmm. To stop your symptomology.
Okay.
I've had very sick people come in. We refer them down to Sutter, mm-hmm. For the monoclonal antibodies, and I tell them within 24 hours, you're going to be a different person. And within 24 hours, they're a different person.
Really?
Yes.
Wow. Wow.
They worked that well.
Wow, that's excellent. Yeah, I remember there was a woman that was a neighbor of a friend of mine, and she's in her mid-80s, and she caught it. And I think she went down like the second day to Sutter and got the monoclonal antibodies, and it made a huge difference. It really was. It was like she was a different person the next day, amazingly.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. The thing we have to understand about monoclonal antibodies is they're kind of variant specific. You know, so
really?
Absolutely.
Okay.
We have the Omicron Delta monoclonal antibodies. They've been discontinued by the CDC, FDA. They're no longer effective. 95% of the people, if not higher, are getting Omicron. And if the monoclonals are not going to work specifically on the Omicron, then it's a waste. It's a waste.
Yeah. So, okay. So the antibodies at this point were designed for Delta?
Well, they're not designed. You know, monoclonal antibodies are not really created in a lab.
Okay.
They're more created in your body. So each variant has specifics to it.
Right. Those funny little spikes that you see
absolutely.
On them.
Absolutely. Yeah. You know, you can get really deep into the science of it. But the fact of the matter is, if monoclonal antibodies are not directly specific to that variant, then they move on and develop the new monoclonal antibodies, mm-hmm. to whatever variant is might be on the horizon.
Right.
And I, you know, I'm impressed with the way the government has kept up with that, or science, whoever you want to give credit to.
Right.
I'm impressed with the quickness in which we're able to do that.
Well, when you look at it, you know, it kind of stand back from it and take a look at it. The reality is that this has only been on the planet for a year and a half. So for us to have come up with something that works to counteract the effects and a vaccine in that period of time is pretty amazing.
It is amazing. It's actually a miracle.
Yeah.
So many people don't remember polio, and they just need to take a little walk through Google image it. And take a little walk through polio and, learn how many years we dealt with that. We have come a long ways. I've been watching this thing for 48 months. I'm quick to pick up on what might be out there in the world. Mm-hmm. And I kind of seen this festering in China and from there it exploded. But yes, it's only been 48 months.
Right.
And we kind of have to keep that in perspective.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, exactly. And we have kind of, our culture has kind of evolved to this, we want quick fixes. We want instant gratification. We want, if we think of it, we want it to be in reality. And, that really isn't the way the world is not a video game. It's just not.
Yeah, science doesn't work that way. And, here's an example, though it may be a stupid one. The apple fell on Newton's head and he looked up and said, oh, there must be gravity. Why did that come down, right?
Yes.
Yeah. And that's kind of the way science works.
Yeah.
And people have to make those discoveries. But wow, man, it actually has been amazing to see.
Yeah, it really has. It really has. It's very impressive. So let's talk about the vaccines. There have been a lot of changes in terms of that as well, right? The first vaccine out might have been the J&J, or it was certainly one of them. And then Pfizer and then Moderna. What are the ones? I mean, I don't think J&J's being used very much anymore, is it?
No, J&J's being very regulated right now.
Mm-hmm.
I have to have very good reason to substantiate my giving the patient J&J with the state, and they will frown upon it. Just because why provide somebody with something that may provide them 30% to 50% coverage? It's not anything against Janssen. It's not against J&J. The vaccine just wasn't as effective,
right.
And we still have it. But I think you will see Janssen probably fall off the market.
Okay. So what most people are getting? Go ahead.
Well, you mentioned all of them. Yes, first, Janssen, Pfizer, Moderna, they kind of all hit probably about the same time, I would imagine. Down here, it was incredibly hard to get Pfizer. We were able to get Moderna. Curie Health Network was able to do a huge kickoff, from our 95s and, above. Mm-hmm. And, with Moderna, and that was, I'm going to put this out there, that was probably one of the best experiences of my career. Seeing some people that with tears running down their face because now I can hold my new great-great-grandbaby.
Yes.
Being able to provide that peace of mind was huge. And then it just, Father Bernie and we all got talking, and we knew that there was a need out there for people that may not be able to work a health network and may not be able to get in there and navigate the whole system.
Yep, Yep.
And that's why we came into being.
Well, I have to say that there was a long time that the clinic at St. Tim's was really the only place that you could go. Certainly if you were in Brookings Harbor, it was the only place you could go. It was the only place you could get tested, and it was the only place that you could actually get the vaccine. I mean, the hoops that you had to jump through in order to get tested or vaccinated anywhere else, including Curry Health Network, the hoops that you had to jump through were, it was not okay. I mean, it just wasn't okay.
I agree.
You know, especially when all you had to do was just drive over to St. Tim's. And I mean, I remember when my husband and I went and you came up to the car to vaccinate us because my husband had trouble walking. He was disabled. So you literally came to the car, which is, I mean, really, who does that, right? I mean, I know who does that. It's people who actually are healthcare providers. They do that. But
well,
amazing. It really was.
Well, it's been a unique blessing to be able to do this. I can afford all my time to strictly doing what I'm doing with St. Tim's. And I've gone, my son and I and other people, and it's just not me. I have a whole team. We have a whole team. And 95% of the time, we've done this all as volunteers.
Yep.
And we've gone up and down the coast for hospice, for anybody, as long as I can keep my temps in my ranges.
Mm-hmm.
And we have no problem coming to you if you can't come to us. Yep. And so that's a blessing.
It makes a huge difference. I mean, I really want to underscore that. It makes mm-hmm. a huge difference because people like my husband who could not have walked down the sidewalk or the ramp or whatever to go into the clinic at St. Tim's, they wouldn't have been able to get that vaccine without you guys being willing to accommodate them. I mean, that's just the way it is. And, you know, I am forever grateful, forever yep. grateful. Yeah.
Thank you. And thank you to St. Timothy's.
I mean, absolutely.
They have wonderful missions and, I was very lucky to get on board with them.
Yeah, they're a delightful group of people, and you know I'm so grateful to all of the folks that are, you know, contributing to this effort. It's amazing.
Candace, I want to say this. You know, when you talked about the hoops and everything mm-hmm. That you have to go through, one of the nice things about what we do. And this may even lead into your next question, but one of the nice things that we do is we don't bill. And,
yes.
You know, and people think, oh, the vaccine's free. Well, the liquid in there is free. I'm getting.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. I'm getting my syringes for free.
Mm-hmm.
But no, most people are billed administration fee. And that's to cover all of the cost that it takes to do that. And, you know, I don't have to worry about that.
Right.
And when you can eliminate all these barriers that prevent people from being able to reach you.
Yep.
It really does become a lot easier.
Yep. And that's what, when you hear people talking about low barrier anything, right? Low barrier housing, low barrier healthcare, whatever, that's what it means, is that the barriers to you being able to access those services are low, not high. They don't make you jump through a whole lot of hoops in order to get help of some
right.
sort. And it's hugely impactful, hugely. I mean, we're on the whole booster thing at this point, right? I mean, most mm-hmm. people... Well, let me ask the question, because I actually don't know this. Have most of the people who are actually going to get their first two shots, have most of them done that at this point? Is mostly what you're looking at booster shots?
Well, you know, in our clinic, Yes. Mostly what I'm doing is boosters. And, you know, we get new arms or new arms, what I call them, but not as frequently as we were before. And if, you know, if I do get new people, it's usually because they're under 18. It seems like the adults that have made up their mind. You know, like you said, Americans want instant gratification, and then we want to stick our feet in the ground as hard as we can.
Yes, and then we want to be able to question everything, right? Question everything. Yes, I know. Right. I know.
That is us.
I know. And it's funny, right? Because the same people who question what is in the vaccine, they don't think twice about questioning what's in their Big Mac. You know? They don't think twice about it. Like, okay. Yeah. All right.
32 milligrams of unsaturated fat.
There we go.
So that's a start. That's the start of what's in a Big Mac.
There we go. So the boosters, I was very curious about what effect the booster was going to have, right? Because the first two shots that I got, which were both Moderna, they took me down. You know, I think I was down for probably 2 or 3 days and really down. I mean, it was not like, I don't feel good, I think I'll go to bed. It was like, oh, I'm not getting out of bed today. You know, that's just, I'm not. The first booster that I got, I remember doing this. I said, okay, I had Moderna the first two shots, so I'm going to try Pfizer for the booster because I'm thinking, okay, we'll somehow, I don't know, widen the ability to fight it off, or because I figured Pfizer was different from Moderna and maybe there were some holes that were going to get filled in by Pfizer. You know, who knows, right? I was being a pseudoscientist.
Well, no, we talked too. If you remember, you and I talked about that, and we talked about your side effects.
There was a reason
I directed you to go with Pfizer on that third dose.
But I thought it was a good idea. I really did. I thought it was a good idea
for you. I did. Yes. Yeah.
So I assumed that, like with Moderna, I was going to have about 12 hours, you know, before the effects started hitting me. Funny, I had about an hour because I thought I could go to the grocery store and do a little bit of shopping and then go home and do my interview with Diana in a couple of hours. Mm-hmm. So I'm sitting in the parking lot after doing the grocery shopping and I'm thinking, I'm having trouble remembering my name. I could kind of feel my brain seeping out of my ears. I thought, well, I'm not going to be able to do an interview tonight because I can't remember who I am at this point. So when I got my second booster just recently, I got the Moderna. And I thought, okay, you know, again, I'll have 12 hours, right? No. No, I had about 2, maybe 3 hours. And again, it was the feeling that my brain was just kind of seeping out my ear. It was very interesting. I actually went ahead and did an interview. I told Diana, you know, beforehand that I was feeling a little bit light in the brain category. And if I started going, you know, completely south, she was going to have to take over the interview. But I made it through. But I thought it was interesting that was the effect from the Moderna booster when it wasn't at all the effect from when I got the original Moderna shots.
Well, the thing about the boosters is our body reacts to them right now. So once we get that original 1 and 2, our body is building those antibodies right off the bat on the boosters. Is saying, oh no, I see you. I recognize you. I'm gonna absolutely go to work on what this is. As far as losing, kind of having your brain sucked out of your ear,
which is an odd, right? Right? Yeah. Isn't that odd?
It is odd. What you were experiencing was a reaction from your immune system.
Right.
And whatever that sensation for you might be different than that sensation for me.
Sure. Sure. Yeah. Right, because we've got different immune systems. Right?
Yeah. Yes, but that is a unique one, Candace. I'm sorry.
That's okay. I do think I'm kind of unique. So
everybody's okay. Unique. Everybody's unique, right? And that's the point. You
right.
know,
exactly.
We're not all going to be the same. Exactly. And for us parents out there, when you would bring your babies in to get the shots, and you'd be kind of amazed how many vaccines in one setting your baby would get, sometimes upwards of 6 or 7, right? And as a nurse, you make that baby mad for 30 seconds.
Right.
Absolutely mad. And then you hand that baby back to the parents, and you're just kind of thinking, well, the next 72 hours is going to be kind of a wild ride for you.
Yeah.
But, we get through it.
Yeah.
And that baby gets protected.
Yep, exactly. And it all depends, again, on the baby, right? I mean, some people, their children have big reactions to those vaccines. And, some people don't. Their kids just don't have those huge reactions.
I have 4 kids, and they all reacted.
Did they?
Well, to me, they did.
Yes.
I don't know. Maybe I was looking for it, but
so how low are the boosters going now, or the vaccine in terms of age? I thought I saw something where they're going down into babies at this point.
Candace, I can talk about that. When I talk about all of a sudden data being dropped on me.
Mm-hmm.
That is some data that was just recently dropped in the last week.
Mm-hmm.
It is very hard to wrap your head around it.
Mm-hmm.
We can, well, let me put it this way. Pfizer's been approved for babies from 6 months up. Whether I can talk about that right now with you,
mm-hmm.
I really can't, because mm-hmm. I just have not been able to wrap my head around everything that has come in at me regarding that.
Right.
Pfizer's come down to 6 months. Moderna's come down to 6 months. Probably nobody knows that, but yes,
wow.
They're coming down.
Okay, interesting.
And what people think is healthcare providers get a heads up on this. In this regards, we really don't get a heads up. We can see what is on the horizon,
mm-hmm.
and what may be coming down the pike. But until it is gone, until it's gone through trials, we really don't know as providers. So we have to be able to wrap our heads around that.
So what do you feel confident in terms of the lowest age? Like five years, is that?
Oh, confidence is a huge word for me.
Okay.
I'll
take
feel,
that back. What word would you like to use?
Confidence is okay. I'm very confident in personal experience. I put a mm-hmm. lot around personal experience.
Mm-hmm.
I can read all the science till I'm blue in the face.
Right.
But you know what? Personal experience is what gives me my true knowledge about what's going on. We have done incredibly well with 5-year-olds and up with Pfizer. Those kids are not even reacting.
Oh, that's great.
Little sore arms.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll go out there and I'll talk to them and I'll call parents. I want to know.
Mm-hmm.
Because I want to be able to tell people.
Absolutely.
So, yeah. Yeah. Right now, I just do not have any personal experience from 6 to 5.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not even 100% sure I'll get that, Candace.
Right.
And here's the reason why. St. Timothy's is a church, and it's a mission-oriented church. And here's an example. We did We wanted to do some flu vaccines because people were so homebound they weren't going out and getting the flu vaccine.
Yep.
Even at the best rate, Father Bernie and I could look at, they wanted $70 per shot for the flu vaccine.
Wow.
You know, and I don't know exactly how he did it, mm-hmm. but Father Bernie can be incredibly persuasive.
Yes. And I love him.
I love him too. And you know, we got 50 doses, and boy, those went. Within 3 days, those 50 doses were gone. But had the church had to pay $70 per dose, we couldn't do that. Church could really do that. It is a huge expense, and we're talking about the flu vaccine. I don't know the cost of Pfizer and Moderna, but I can bet you it's astronomical.
Yeah.
If the federal government pulls out the funds, it really does pull out our services. We can't provide the services at $100 a shot.
Are they looking at doing that, Lauren? Are they looking at pulling the funding on that?
Well, you know, yeah, because you know that's a lot of talk. You know, where is the funding going to come from in the next phases of the pandemic? We've thrown an immense amount of money at this, and we've moved. Golly, you know, we've done what we couldn't do in 5 years in 2 years.
Yes, yes, and we've moved mountains. We really have.
Of course,
yes,
of course, and on the flip side of that, somebody has to pay for that.
Yeah,
and I think that I think the federal funding will continue at least for the next 6 months, but I can't guarantee that, Candace.
Right,
I don't really know.
And it seems to me that you know during the summer, and I could be totally wrong about this, but it seems like during the summer when you're mostly outside, and if you're going to get together with people, it's outside and not in confined spaces, that, you know, come the fall, we're probably looking at another spike, don't you think?
Absolutely. You know, I don't want to be pessimistic, but this is going to follow the same surge patterns that it's followed before. And, you know, until... You know, we've talked about variants. It can mutate itself, variant itself down to nothing. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, it can continue on this fall winter surge. And then it seems like we have a spring right before summer surge. And I don't foresee why COVID-19 is going to act any different on us. So what matters is, yes, like you said, we're outside. When we get inside, it becomes a lot easier to contract.
Yeah, yeah. And I know that, you know, a lot of people are not wearing masks now. It's kind of like, you know, we've done as much as we can emotionally do, right? we've kind of come to the end of our ropes. It's like, cannot stay masked up any longer. Although I certainly still stay masked up when I'm going to be around people, especially people that I don't really know. And I'm not sure what their history is in terms of, you know, how careful they are. But, you know, a lot of people are just over it. They want COVID to be gone. They're, you know, whether they think it actually was serious in the first place or not, they want it to be gone. And, you know, God, I so understand it. I so understand it.
Absolutely.
We all want to be on to the next whatever, right? We want it behind us. But, you know, I just heard the other day that Curry County is back in the high-risk category. And I thought that was way behind us. But
I don't think we ever left it.
That's really disappointing.
Sorry.
That's so disappointing.
I'm sorry. You know, if we test 20 people and 40% are coming up positive, 40% were coming up positive during Delta, 40% were coming up positive when we first were able to test.
Right.
You know, we're still at an incredibly high level. Wow. Yeah. Our wastewater proves that, by the way.
Oh, really?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So they're testing the wastewater?
Well, I don't know about exactly our wastewater.
Okay. But the wastewater in general.
Yes.
Yes.
Is showing that. Mm-hmm.
Yes. And I know that a lot of people, number one, either aren't testing at all or are using home tests, and that none of that is getting reported. None of it.
Right.
I mean, I know my daughter had COVID, and I'm quite sure that did not get reported. Quite sure.
In the process of being able to do that, we have completely kind of lost a little bit of a grasp on our numbers.
Yeah.
And so, I can tell you, if we were seeing a 40% 4 months ago and 3 months before that, you know, we're just at that. We're at another surge. And something tells me if we're seeing that in our clinic, then it's probably higher out there in the community.
My husband had knee replacement surgery the end of April, and I made sure that he had his second booster before the surgery so that, you know, because he was going into the hospital, and it was only supposed to be a three-day stay in the hospital, and he was supposed to, you know, come right home and stuff, but didn't work out that way. Let's just say it didn't work out. You know, I was very aware that going into a hospital, that is where you're going to find COVID, you're right. I mean, it's going to show up in the hospital because that's where the sick people go, you know.
Mm-hmm.
When he got out of the hospital, he had to go into Good Sam for some skilled nursing to get him back on his feet and get him walking again and stuff. And mm-hmm. It was the day before he came home that Good Sam had an outbreak of COVID. And I'll never forget. And, you know, this was only a few weeks ago. I'll never forget walking in that front door and being met at the front door by the administrators, all delightful and wonderful people. But
they really are.
Oh, my. I can't speak highly enough of the people at Good Sam. They
absolutely
took such good care of my husband and took good care of me in the time that
absolutely,
you know, yeah. But they all met me at the door, right? And somebody said, "Well, do you want to tell her or should I?" And I'm thinking, "Oh my goodness, something's happened to my husband." You know, we're and so I'm sure that my face had this look on it like horror, right? And they said, right. No, it's okay, it's okay. And it's like, well, we have COVID in the building. And it was like, I could feel the blood draining from my face because mm-hmm. we had spent 2 years, over two years, making sure that we weren't going to be in contact with anything, right? Just
right.
Right? And suddenly here it is at this facility, and it's like, oh my God, thought we were going to get through it. And actually, you know, Phil did not get COVID. I managed to get him home the next day, and you know, everything is fine. Yeah. But scary.
Very scary. You know, one thing I want to say about Good Sam's is they, and if somebody wants to look at the data, they have done incredibly well as a skilled nursing facility, keeping this thing at bay.
Yep.
Incredibly well.
Yep.
And, you know, I've always said, you know, from the beginning, it may not be, you know, the 35-year-old or maybe even the 10-year-old that we need to kind of protect. You know, it really is that, you know, 70 and above population.
Yes.
And still to this day, that has not changed. They are our most vulnerable.
Yep.
And anybody in those type of facilities are incredibly vulnerable.
Yeah.
You talked about hospital-borne infections. I worked my whole career in the operating room, and I got sick 2 weeks after my kids went back to school every year.
Yes.
So, you know,
rugrats, right?
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. They take a bath in germs when they're at school. I don't know.
Well, right. You know, I the reason I'm saying that is in the OR, we wash our hands incredibly, tip to elbow, and we wear masks, and you know, we take all these protocols.
Yep.
And the whole hospital has protocols, but that's how you keep the nosocomial. That's what they're called, nosocomial infections, and that's how you kind of keep them at bay.
Yes, yeah, and Good Sam, they had you walk in the door and you immediately took your temperature and you immediately sanitized your hands, and you know, it was just. That was the protocol. You didn't go back to see anybody unless you knew that your temperature was recorded and your hands were washed.
You know, I've given well over 100 vaccines at Good Sam's.
Mm.
So their nursing staff is very on top of boosting, when to boost.
Yep.
And to get a hold of me, they can't facilitate the vaccine. Like mm-hmm. I can.
Mm-hmm.
And I've always been able to do that. And so, you know, we go in there and kind of do a sweep. And they've been incredibly good. So, yes, I've given about, well over 100 vaccines just in Good Sam's.
Isn't that amazing? It's just amazing.
It is amazing. It's a blessing. It's an incredible blessing.
Yeah.
And it's incredibly rewarding. And especially to do this... I'm a registered nurse, but to be able to do this with St. Timothy's and with in conjunction with even Curie County and in conjunction with OHA, mm-hmm. you know, OHA, Oregon Health Authority, is a big partner down here. They are not silent. They are not. We're not alone.
Right.
So, you know, with all these blessings, we're able to provide that service and rewarding beyond belief.
And, you know, I noticed when I was there, when I'd visit my husband, there are a lot of people there who are not only vulnerable in terms of their age, but fragile. You know, their health is very fragile. So if they get sick, it's going to have a big consequence. It's not going to be a little consequence.
Absolutely huge consequence, and we have to remember there is some incredibly sweet people, you know, Good Sam, for whatever reason that life has ever dealt them, just incredibly sweet, wonderful, loving people. Lots of stories. Not that we stick around to tell stories because.
But stories are great. You know, they're great.
it is, you know, again, contact time. I want to keep my contact time as limited as I can because I'm an outsider.
Right.
So, but yes, the stories are great. And when this is in an endemic stage, I have so many people I'm going to go in there and talk to.
Yeah.
And just get to know lovely people.
So when you say endemic... That means that, what, we're just getting shots in the fall or something to protect us? Or?
Well, you know, when I say endemic is when not only as a country, but as the world has gotten a control on the variant and has gotten a control on COVID,
mm-hmm.
Nobody can... You just can't put the horse ahead of the cart and say, you know, we're at the end of this. We're not at the end of this. Not yet. We're getting so much closer. And, you know, we have treatment. There might be a time in a year that we have 10 treatments. You know, I talked about monoclonals and one antiviral.
Mm-hmm.
In a year's time, we might have 3 different antivirals on the market in mass production or whatever.
Right.
You know, and that's when you get to the endemic stage. Pandemic stage is when you can get it, treat it, and get vaccinated for it once a year and kind of carry on with your life.
Right. And I think we're all really anxious to do that. We're Absolutely. Anxious to carry on with our lives. I mean, you know, just as an example, you and I are sitting here doing this interview. I'm in my home. You're in your home. And Tom, who is doing the recording and will do the editing, is in his home. And the reason that we're in our homes is because our studio is still closed. Because right. it is not yet safe for us to congregate in a closed space like the studio and be breathing on each other. It's just not safe yet. So, you know, we are still going through protocols to make sure that we are not infecting each other.
Absolutely, we are. And I cannot speak enough about masking. No matter what, primarily, this is an airborne disease.
Yep.
If we can somehow prevent it from getting into our mouth, nose, lungs, yep. that's a huge amount of prevention.
Yes.
Yes, you can get it off surfaces by touching your eyes and but mainly this bug is airborne.
Yep.
And you, if you realize that, keep your surfaces clean. I personally love bleach, but yeah. I can't speak enough about masking.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And yeah, of course we're all tired of it. Of course we are. But that's not the point, is it?
No, it's not at all.
I mean, yeah, we're tired of it, but I really don't want COVID. Thank you very much. I really don't.
Right.
Yeah. So, Lauren, go ahead.
You do. You know, what I suggest to people is maybe step away from the reading. Of course, listen to your radio. But maybe step away from the reading, step away right. from the news, and quit this constant barrage of information that is kind of overwhelming.
Right.
And much of which is not very understandable.
Right, right. And can be confusing. So.
And can be confusing. You know, you don't know if you're reading an opinion piece or if you're reading something exactly. that's not an opinion piece.
Exactly. So, Lauren, it looks like we've just about run out of time again, which constantly amazes me. It's like suddenly the hour is gone. But thank you so much for coming on the show. You know, your information and your knowledge and your personal experiences are just so thorough and so enlightening that, you're a gem. So just thank you so much.
It's always a pleasure, Candace.
Well, for me too. I mean, for me too. So,
absolutely.
You know, you will definitely be back on. And I would imagine that definitely in the fall, we will be taking another look.
Let's talk again, and yep. I'll have more information on that baby stuff once I can get my head wrapped around it.
That sounds great. Thanks, Lauren. And
no
thank
problem,
you
Candace.
For listening. My guest today has been Lauren Farmer, nurse extraordinaire, and my go-to source for accurate information about COVID and vaccinations. So be safe, take care of yourself and the people around you. This is Candace Michelle for Our Community.